Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello, worst idea of all time listeners from near and far, new and old. Guy Montgomery here in Hobart. Just checking in before episode 40, which due to my own incompetence has been uploaded in this run of episodes after episode 41. So, we did the director's commentary. And I totally forgot about this, but after we actually went to the trouble of recording the director's commentary, we recorded a regular episode, which seems insane, but it's what we did. And this is that episode. We sort of reflect on the DIRCOM experience. We actually start asking for money to go to Los Angeles, which if you haven't followed the season before, it'll be fascinating to see how that goes. We discuss the Sandlerverse. I talk about how I think all of Adam Sandler's characters should be in one movie at one time, which I don't think he's done, but someone did make a video where that was the case, and you know, you got to respect that. We live in fear of Grown Ups 3, and we also talk about the influence of Nickelodeon, our era of Nickelodeon, your Amanda Bynes's, your Kenan and Kel's, and your all that's, which is sort of upsettingly prescient given, you know, the documentary that has just come out about what was the guy's name? He's up to no good. Anyway, it's a good episode. It's a fine episode, and I'm sorry it's slightly out of order, but here it is.
Hello and welcome to the worst idea of all time. My name is Tim Betts.
My name is Guy Montgomery, and we have just watched Grown Ups 2 for the 40th time.
We say watch. We say that.
We did something a little different.
We did. We finally, after much pleading and promising and begging, none of that stuff really happened. We did a director's commentary style of a thing. We did a commentary.
We just spoke through the whole movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is, isn't it? When you break down what a director's commentary is, it's someone talking through their movie.
Yeah. I was thinking on the way here, I haven't watched any director's commentaries before, so I didn't have a template from which I could sort of...
There's some good ones out there.
Yeah, I'll bet. What we've offered is probably not in that exact bracket, but I'd put it in the interesting bracket.
I think from memory, the
miscellaneous bracket.
The one on good, Old School is phenomenal.
Yeah, that would be good. Old School is just a classic film.
So good, man. So good. Love Old School.
Anyway, so thank you very much for joining us. It's an absolute pleasure to have your ears. And it's been, I mean, I guess for me, because it is different every week. And so for me, I mean, it was almost refreshing, I guess. It was like a dip in that we weren't engaging with the movie like we usually do. Mm. We were sort of, it was almost like a game of, you know, when you were a kid and you had a balloon and you used to walk around the house and have to keep the balloon in the air?
Yeah.
It was sort of like the mental equivalent of playing that game.
Okay. I think we did very well at keeping that ball in the air.
It only dawned on me late in the commentary, but what has happened with this is that a lot of the viewers... The listeners, won't have watched the movie at all at our behest. And now we're breaking the cardinal rule. And so a lot of people, I mean, I just hope that it was worth it for everyone who's just listened.
Yeah. So there's two ways you can experience the commentary. You can either listen to it by itself, which would be bizarre, but, you know, the whole thing's bizarre. Yeah. Or you could also chuck the movie on And then turn the sound kind of down on that and chuck it up on us.
That's right. And what did you see in the movie today that called out to you as particularly unique?
Well, you drew my attention to Sherry Terry's top, who plays Penny in the movie.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That costuming detail.
Yeah, she wears a T-shirt that says and then it has a picture of Lenny Fader, and then it says the word Lenny. So if you
we've talked about it quite a bit recently. Lenny, we have.
So that she's wearing a jacket over the top. I don't know.
When she arrives with her husband to hide it from him.
Maybe it wasn't a good idea doing a podcast after the commentary. I feel drained.
No. It's going to be good, man. You just got to get that caffeine in you.
Yeah, all right.
We'll get a drink of that caffeine. But yeah, I mean, it's sort of like it's similar to when we did the Twitter episode where we live tweeted it. It just changes the whole feel of watching the movie because you're not zoned in. Like some of the viewings we've done, some of the darkest viewings I've done personally are the ones where I'm too tired to talk to you.
Right.
I'm not tired enough to completely like zone into my thoughts and I'm just watching the movie with cold, dead eyes.
Yeah.
And so any variation from that theme, which is the worst possible environment for me to be watching the movie, is quite... It's all relative, but it's enjoyable.
Okay, so it's a different kind of pain.
Yeah.
And by virtue of it being different, there's something better about that than the normal kind of pain.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, people say better the devil you know, but...
Yeah.
I don't know how that applies to this.
It's kind of the reverse. It's better the devil you don't know. Better the devil you haven't met before.
Well, it's sort of like how well do you know the devil? And, I mean, what different environments can you hang out with the devil in? Well, which is a bit wordy for a sort of an idiom.
I can see why they've cut that down.
I can see why they went with the idiom that they went with.
We're recording in a slightly different environment today as well. We're downstairs rather than upstairs at my house because we filmed... I don't know how I'm feeling about that, but we filmed the commentary.
Really, it was really...
It's quite weird.
You said it and it sort of just seemed like, why wouldn't we if we've gotten the option? But it is an odd thing to do.
I don't know.
And we watched in between... the director's commentary and this, we watched some of the footage back.
And, it's quite weird.
It's a weird thing to watch.
Quite uncomfortable.
I can't imagine anyone wanting to watch that.
Can I be bothered putting it up is the question.
Yeah.
Because I'll have to do things to it.
People will speak out about how they feel either way. We've got to bring the energy up.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Why are you so lethargic?
I don't know, man. It's...
Come on, look at me, I'm firing you up. This is sort of a flip-flop. Usually it's you firing me up, but I'm bloody ready and rearing to go.
I've capped off, you know what I mean? Like, the graph has gone up, 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 and then it's just plateaued.
Yeah,
it's
all
Enron,
falling
bro.
Action.
I'm fucked.
You're Enron.
I'm Enron.
It's game over, you've been caught out.
Yeah.
Surely not at the 40th.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, I was really putting everything into it for that commentary. Like the well is empty.
What order do you think they're going to be released in? Is this after the commentary or before?
Let me shake it off. The commentary will come out after this.
Okay. Well, let's not
talk. Or will it? They're all good decisions that we...
All good questions. You can't even speak. You're so drained.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking we should throw that out to the crowd, but we can't because then whatever. Fucking hell. Who cares?
You're
about
tying yourself in logistical knots. That's like, have you seen the Mr. Show sketch, the pre-taped... Phone and show.
I haven't seen any Mr. Show.
It's so funny. It's David Cross at a desk
and Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah. But this one's David Cross at a desk, and he's organised a pre-taped phone and show. So he's talking to a guest, but they're fielding questions from the. It's very confusing, and that's what you just did to yourself.
Right. You've David Crossed myself.
Yeah, you have. Well, I mean, why don't we just turn to a feature then to try and squeeze some juice out of this bloody dried out lemon.
What do you want to kick off with, mate? Are we jumping on board a particular... tour manager?
Why don't we just take a shining light? What was the moment in the movie for you today which was a bastion of hope?
Well, because we've got to try to avoid not doubling up, eh? Because one immediately came to my head.
Dig deep. Dig deep, you might find gold. That is a true sentence that someone who ran a lucky dip at the A&P show when I was about 8 years old said to me. I was reaching into the lucky dip and she said, dig deep, you might find gold. One of those weird things which just stuck in my head.
Wow. Did you find gold?
No, I got like a cap gun.
That's pretty gold if you're a kid. Was there actual gold in there? Was that one of the options?
Wow. I guess
in terms of
misleading advertising, there'd better have been some gold in there.
But maybe she meant gold in the metaphorical sense, in which case you probably did get it, because cap guns are wicked.
Pretty clear around the copy on that, otherwise she's going to be receiving a torrent of lawsuits. My kid didn't find gold. My kid just got fart putty. And he's driving us up the wall.
I think it was probably the bit where Shaq throws that guy over the house. Although, that has that been a shining light before?
No, no, no.
When Shaq throws the guy over the house.
Yeah.
Like, there was something about David Farrier joining us for the last episode which renewed my enjoyment of some of the more physical gigs that are playing out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, that's a pretty cool one.
One thing the movie does sort of all right is physical gags. I think about the moments when I watch the film, which are the higher plot points on the graph of enjoyment.
Yeah.
It's your Nick Swartzen raft gags. It's your jumping into the quarry gags. It's that big physical throw. It's Peter Dante on skis. Big physical gags are one thing that they kind of...
They get right.
They get right.
Oh, Peter Dante on skis. Yeah, man.
Like, or close to right.
Do you remember when we used to do the top five briefly for a few episodes? And we did top five stunts once. And that was a fun one because there's a lot of good stunts.
There you go. See, this, I feel like this, but we're speaking in relative terms now because I don't think we've ever really spoken about how great the stunts are before. They're just...
I was digging
best deep. I don't know if
that was gold.
No, you're right, mate.
How do you have a shining light for the watch we just had, the 40th?
My shining light for the watch we just had was, I want to say it's just the idea of Kevin James filming those burp snuts. Just because without audio, it's just the weirdest sort of thing you can do with your body. Like, so, and true. everyone on set would have had to be like, yeah, you know. Yep, you got it, Kev. We'll buy that.
Yeah,
there's no way of knowing.
It's a weird, wormy body jerk.
That gag exists purely in post-production.
Mm.
Anyway, I mentioned that in the director's commentary, but it's the one thing that jutted out to me.
It is funny. It's definitely funny. So here we are. Here we are. I want to take a bit of a broader view because I'm just, you know.
You're struggling, let's be honest.
I'm struggling. I want to take a bit of a broader view of the project. What Guy and I would love to do, and we've mentioned this a few times, is jump on a big old jet plane, go to Los Angeles for the 50-second viewing. How much money is that going to cost?
You're talking to me?
Yeah.
What? I don't know. How much does a flight cost?
You can to probably, LA?
You can get it. If you get the good flights, you can get them for like maybe $1,200 New Zealand dollars return to LA.
Return? So $600 each way?
I think
that seems a little light. I thought it'd be about 18.
No, but you got to get on one of the sales.
All right.
Because what happens is these airlines, they'll run their regular fares and then they'll have sales.
Do you think we could?
It's very. I mean, and a lot of other sort of products and companies are starting to use that concept. It's incredible.
Do you think we could?
I think it's a really good idea. I think it's here to say. I think you haven't seen the last of the sale.
Could we get an airline on board? That's what I'm asking.
I don't.
Probably not. Eh.
I don't imagine that anyone we don't have any connection. Look, we just have to buy
okay, fine, we'll do it your way.
We could try.
We'll
there could be someone who works for an airline right now going, I could swing a deal.
If anyone can, let us know. But otherwise, I'm picking it's about $1,500 for each of us, $3,000. I reckon we can wing it for Acom, you know.
Yeah,
LA's a friendly place. It's a friendly town. That's
Los
what
Angeles
they always
is a
say
friendly town. They always say LA is best when you don't know anyone there.
Yeah, and you have to sleep in a random place.
Let's not look at logistics. Let's look at, in an ideal world, what we'd execute. So we'd come to Los Angeles. Mm. Whatever the date we recorded the first one was, so it would be sort of
February.
Sometime in February next year. And we hire a live venue.
It's
and,
not that far away, bro.
No. And who do we sit down with but Mr. Adam fucking Sandler himself, three of us.
First of all.
Side by side on stage, and we say, Adam, tell us. What's it like walking in your shoes? And he'll say, well, it's very comfortable. I only wear the most comfortable shoes. And from there, we'll
I'm in loafer Crocs.
Yeah, and then we'll just, I got my loafer Croc stocks on. It's a combination of a loafer, a Croc, and a Birkenstock. It's the most comfortable piece of footwear designed.
You want one? No, Adam. We've got some.
Well, you can't have any because I bought all of them. Anyway, so we have that whole conversation with Adam live on stage. So, but realistically, we're not going to be able to get Adam Sandler. Because
well, I don't even know if I want him. Like, even if I could wish, if there was a wish genie.
How could you not
want him? A wish genie,
him?
If you will. A genie that instead of doing the thing genies usually do, it grants wishes. I don't think I'd want Adam Sandler.
Who would you wish for?
Probably, like, I reckon David Spade would be great. Well, who would actually be quite open, do you think, to talking about how kind of nuts it would have been? Because Nick Schwartz, I don't think would.
None of them would. None of them necessarily would. I mean, I think
David Spade's up his. Oh, John Lovitz, because John Lovitz is just kind of like a fucking interesting, crazy dude.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't necessarily know that people would be that open to talking about the film. Obviously, it would be predicated around the conversation of the film, much like the podcast itself. But we'd probably wind up as just in conversation with someone who was involved. Imagine we got a round table. If we got all of the players.
Why would they ever, like...
They used us for a Grown Ups 3 presser. Boom! Gotcha.
Shit.
Gotcha.
You sure did.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound totally impossible.
It sounds ridiculously impossible.
I guess it is. But if they knew what was good for them, it sounds threatening. If they understood, like, social media and the internet and good humor
we
and
got
stuff.
We got a message for you, Hollywood.
They
We're coming.
We're coming for you.
We're coming to do the Grown Ups 3 presser, whether you like it or not.
It's a $3,000 holiday, but we don't know where we're sleeping.
Yeah. Anyway.
So if they were like good at their jobs, the press people, they would let us do the press. How good would that be if we did some events?
Yeah.
For Grown Ups 3.
Anyway. So ideally, that's what would happen is we'd be on a stage with Adam Sandler talking about his new footwear that he's releasing. Patrick Schwarzenegger?
No, hold on. Okay. Reframe what you're thinking. Sorry, I'm going slightly off path here, but reframe what you're thinking. If they do press for Grown Ups 3, which they may not, but if they do, if we get in touch with their people and say, we're a podcast listened to all over the world who does nothing but watch Grown Ups 2, they have to give us an interview. They can't, like, we've got
to
get
read
lead.
The email.
We have got
to
get
They just have to listen
cast.
To one episode of the podcast to not give us the interview.
They have to, bro. It's too relevant. They must.
I was just realigning my sights on Patrick Schwarzenegger.
Ooh, that's very
as
possible.
A potential guest.
Although his fucking star's on the rise now that he's seeing Miley Cyrus, so he's going to be
harder
well, to
I
get
actually
to.
Read a little tidbit.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I saw on the New Zealand Herald website, which is New Zealand's, is presumed it's meant to be New Zealand's
chip packet, yeah, is what they call it.
New
it's
Zealand's
great.
Leading journalism. And there was I clicked on a little link which said Schwarzenegger disapproves of Miley or something. And
yeah,
I was
yeah,
like,
yeah.
What's
Arnie,
going on? And yet
they got posted up on our Facebook wall.
I did it.
Yeah,
I read that.
Arnie's not keen. He's trying to intervene.
They don't like that. They don't like that.
And
Miley's
he's a little green.
Gone on the record as saying,
"Was Miley on the
She's
scene?
Into drugs." But I don't think that'll affect him. I mean, he's
you
a young
worse.
Guy.
You could do. I apologize for just interrupting you constantly.
That's
by
okay.
The way. I feel,
no, you go.
I'm in a weird zone. You could do worse than Miley Cyrus. Because
who's Miley Cyrus is great.
Who's the Nickelodeon chick who's wigged out big time? Used to have
Amanda Bynes. No, that's really sad though.
I used to have a massive crush on her. So
her show was very funny.
Sad to watch. Yeah, it was the Dancing Lobsters.
Yeah.
Great.
She had a really funny sketch show.
She did, man. Like, she was unusually talented. She
yeah,
did
she
really
good,
good characters, and it was a
and
solid
it was quite
show.
Surreal and silly. I used to watch a lot of Nickelodeon. All that.
Yeah.
Kenan and Kel. Kenan and Kel. Was one of the shows I remember I'd race home from school just to watch Kenan and Kel. Kenan and Kel was one of the only shows I remember watching, And I was laughing, like, you know how you laugh more when there are other people there?
Yeah.
I remember noticing when I was younger, I was watching it and laughing by myself and no one else was in the room. And
it's like first time.
Yeah, and I was like, whoa.
Like a little comedy masturbation session.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, this must be so funny. Yeah.
Nickelodeon's fucking wicked like that, eh? I think Nickelodeon probably informed the comedy of our generation more than any other thing. Agree, disagree.
I don't know.
Two options.
Disagree.
Why?
It's just, there must be so much stuff that, you know, you've said Nickelodeon, so it's all in my head.
Rugrats.
It's not informing our opinion. That's whiling away our weekend mornings.
No, but it's what's in our heads, mate.
It's impressing something on you, sure, but like Friends surely informs our generation's comic sensibilities. Not as much. It's unique for everyone.
Oh, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Guy Montgomery, maybe you've got a
point. There is no yes or no answer.
Guy Alexander Halifax Montgomery. Is that Alex first?
Yeah.
Halifax. It is. Okay, sweet. I nailed it. Grown Ups 3 is a terrifying specter on the horizon of my mind. It's something that has been jokingly talked about by our fans, but actually talked about in real life
in Hollywood.
By David Spade.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense that it would exist. Because
very profitable film.
Hugely profitable. Yeah, franchise. Do you know if the first one made lots of money? It must have, eh? It must have made heaps. But
they're
enough,
doing a sequel, because it was Adam Sandler's first sequel, so presumably it made a lot of money. I still like the idea, I think I partially floated it a while ago, maybe in the Corrie episode. I like the idea of, as part of this Netflix deal, Adam Sandler creating a movie where all of his famous characters exist in the same universe.
Yeah.
And they all sort of meet at some family reunion, maybe. They're all distantly related. And they all interact with each other. A lot like Eddie Murphy in The Nutty Professor. I mean, I don't know that I think it would be a particularly good film, but I think it would certainly be very interesting.
Do you mean the clumps, or did he have other characters he created in there?
He was the whole family. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay, right.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, there'd be other secondary characters. All your Adam Sandler players would be in there. Maybe we could get a walk-on role. This thing is, if Adam Sandler kickstarted a movie, we could pay enough money, if we could raise it, to get a walk-on role in an Adam Sandler film. But Adam Sandler would never kickstart a movie. He's no Zach
Adam
Braff.
Sandler. Did Zach Braff do that?
Yeah, he made one called Wish You Were Here. And
Man, that had a killer soundtrack. I didn't see that movie, but I want to because, what's his name? Something Potemkin. The guy in Homeland, and he's like a really good singer, and he's in The Princess Bride.
Don't know.
Maddie Potemkin? Something similar to that. Phenomenal actor. He's in Wish You Were Here, and The Shins have got a really good song on the soundtrack.
That sounds...
So there you go.
Exactly like the marketing plan for a Zach Braff film.
It does, doesn't it?
All right, Zach, what are you going to make? I don't know, but The Shins will be on the soundtrack. We're in, said the public, as they gave him their money to do exactly that. Good on you, Zach. Scrubs was formative for me. Scrubs was a show I watched a lot.
As a kid, how old is Scrubs?
I thought it was very funny. Sort of like late teenage years, maybe. Late teens.
You think Scrubs informed your comedy, though?
Yeah.
I feel like you want to go younger for that. Like,
no, it's all informing. It's being informed all the time.
You know what I'm disgusted by? That Bob Saget probably informed a bit of my humor.
Because you
just naturally watch a lot of Full House when you're a kid growing up in the 90s.
There's a very funny website called Full House Reviewed. I think that's what it is. And it's actually not as similar to what we're doing. Someone has chronologically watched every episode of Full House and written like a sort of 500 to 1,000 word maybe synopsis slash takedown. It's just bad.
Oh,
it's just
really?
Like bad mouthing for what the examples at Full House is a family. It's very funny. It's definitely worth checking out.
Someone wrote, I think maybe for crack.com, a really interesting article about how fucking dark family comedies were in the 90s, because a parent was always dead, responsible element for the whole storyline.
Yeah, and we also got a message on the Facebook page from someone who wrote a blog. I haven't read it. And I read it when I was doing something else, so I can't quite remember. But he wrote a blog. He watched a movie. He did exactly the same thing, only he wrote a blog instead of a podcast. And I don't know if he had a friend, which is pretty reckless behavior, pal.
For what movie?
I can't remember.
Oh.
I'll look it up.
Okay.
We can post it on the Facebook page.
So I guess we should do our other features, Guy.
That's right. Sell it.
Ba, ba, ba. Ba, 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 ba. Ba.
Roll up for the mystery tour. Roll up, it's an inspiration. Roll up for the mystery tour. The Steve Buscemi mystery tour is coming to take you away. Now, right now, it's coming to take you away. Okay, Steve Buscemi suffers an injury in Grown Ups. We do not know the details of the injury, but we do like to speculate once a week as to what would have caused his very specific symptoms, which is 40% feeling in his body and his arms are trapped above his head. I believe it's my bash.
I believe it is.
So Steve Buscemi was training to be a helicopter pilot.
Uh-huh.
His character was Tim Wiley was in the first film. It was a very expensive sort of shoot that they set up for this, and it's a real disappointment that they couldn't use the footage.
I think I know where this is
but
going.
But he's in the hospital. Not in the hospital. He's in a helicopter. Those are similar words. And they're flying high above Stanton, Connecticut, or wherever they are in the first film. And he's talking to the helicopter pilot, and they get into an argument. And I think the reason they didn't use it is because this didn't really tie in with anything to do with the film at all.
Yeah.
I was really hastily written and just slapped in the script, but they shot it anyway.
Yeah.
And they get into an argument, and then the guy's like, fuck you, Wiley. And he pushes him.
Pushes him out of a helicopter.
Out of a helicopter. And Wiley is going over, he's going over like head first. So he gets pushed. And his body, he leaves with his head and arms
so
out of the
helicopter.
So his
back's kind of facing the ground.
Yeah, yeah. But he grabs onto the railing and flips his whole body around.
Oh.
And in that motion, it breaks both of his arms.
Oh, jeez.
And it sort of straps him into that very position, the touchdown position, while he's hanging for dear life from the helicopter.
God.
But there was, and then he falls all the way to earth and he lands in a waterfall. And then those are his injuries.
Not where I thought you were going with that.
No, where did you think I was going?
Slightly gorier. I thought that the helicopter was still on the ground, or it nailed a landing, maybe, and he was like, sick landing, like touchdown, chucked his arms up, and the blades took off his arms. And then he got prosthetic arms that were incorrectly attached.
They were cast like that for the first... Yeah, that's
so
really
they
good.
Were just stuck in that position. And he lost so much blood that he got nerve damage.
Yeah.
And but then... 2 years
and he also,
after,
they also put him on a lot of like he was heavily sedated, which limited his feeling.
And then after the 2 years, they finally found an arm transplant for
That's
him.
That's right, yeah. Hey,
lefty and right.
Well, how about that? Two options on the Steve Buscemi mystery
you
tour.
Pick.
Yeah, this week.
Ladies' choice.
Yeah, what a treat.
And
then that just leaves one more.
Sure does.
Party time! It's Patty Schwartz party time! It's party time
with Patty Schwartz!
Patrick Schwartz, a nigga's coming to your house with fairy bread! He's putting it in your mouth! Yum, yum, chew it up! I'm Patrick Schwartz, a nigga!
Here is the part where we appreciate the son of Arnie. And my favorite bit with him in the film this week
was...
Ooh.
Should we do it one word at a time, Patrick Schwarzenegger? Time?
It
was
the
moment
when
Patty
lifts
his
hand
above
his
head
and
parties.
Which
he
loves.
So...
Patty
does
this
for
a
long
time,
ages.
His
father
is
so
mad
about
this.
The end. Fuck,
okay.
Man.
Okay.
We've been around this movie too long today. We almost made it.
We almost did. We almost got out of this alive, guy.
Well,
so we need to start planning if we're going to make this trip to California. Yeah, we're going to need to crowdsource some money because I cannot. Oh yeah, fuck the shirt too. That's going to set me back $250. But I tell you what, the guy was okay. For those who didn't hear or whatever, in episode like 9, very early on, I said hand on heart, I would pay $250 for a shirt that has Tim Meadows' face on it. And that ridiculous catchphrase, which is what? So this fucking great design. Someone went out and designed it. Some dude in America who listens to the podcast. And like an asshole put it online for exactly 250 New Zealand dollars. That's definitely going to get picked up. You're just brushing the microphone into your mustache.
Yeah. Sorry. That was irresponsible of me. I was just, it felt really good at the time.
I'll bet.
and I was mentally zoned out, and sorry for that. We've arrived at the end.
So hold on, I'm telling the t-shirt.
Oh, no,
tale.
We haven't. We're in the middle of the t-shirt. We're just in the middle of the t-shirt tale.
So the guy's not an asshole. Good on him for designing it and putting it up there and going to the effort of making a storefront and stuff. And so now I've got to fucking buy it, I guess, which is fine.
Someone wrote on the page they'd rather you gave the money to charity.
Well, this is the beautiful thing. First of all, he was like, "You don't have to buy the shirt," and I was like, "I kind of do have to buy the shirt." I said, "You know, I said what I said."
Yeah.
I said what I said. Now we're fighting.
Yeah.
And so now he's gone, just give it to charity. And I've said, no, I'll buy the shirt. And he says, all right, where would you like the $193 US going? And I was like, what a good dude.
That's
so cool. If you got any ideas on a charity that would kind of, you know, this is really a time when our pain can lead to something beautiful.
I don't think it's.
I know 200.
Yeah, it's a lovely gesture.
200 US, isn't it? It's not a truckload of cash. But, you know, where's it best spent?
I don't know. Somewhere cool.
Somewhere cool.
For some useful cause.
Guy, would you recommend that people do the commentary track while watching the movie? I think
that's the only way to do it. No,
I'm going to go against you on that. I'm going to heartily disagree.
I think you should. Yeah, it's up to you. Honestly, viewer's choice, listener's choice.
I think this is the best order to do it in. Like, and number one on my list is just when you're going about your day, just have the commentary track going. You will love it.
You're not wrong, actually, because if you watch it with the movie, this definitely has to be released before the commentary, by the way, so that people can take this into consideration.
Roger,
if you watch
that,
it with the
Captain
movie,
Logic.
You're still watching the movie, but if you do it, like, because isn't this whole thing already just so far out there that it's sort of scrambling your brain a bit? I mean, why put in a strain of logic by watching the movie when you could just hear us devolve into madness yeah. while watching the movie?
Yeah. And like,
I've never even considered that angle.
What do you mean?
Well, like that's so in tune with the rest of the podcast to listen to it without watching the movie.
Completely, it is. This is the nature. This is the spirit of the thing. So, I've got a beautiful vision in my head of someone who has to do a really long drive by themselves.
Yeah. An hour 41.
Getting from A to B. Yeah, like quite long. That's not that long, is it? But this is part of a long drive, and we can just provide a little bit of a chuckle or two, and keep you company in your car, you know.
And you can feel our energy dip and crest and
wane and
wane
rise again.
You'll feel when Wayne arrives. It's near the end of the movie, and Wayne does not go away.
Wayne's got a weird energy.
Wayne kind of even probably came along for the podcast this week.
Yeah. I had an earlier point I wanted to return to. I can't for the life of me remember what it is.
You were saying watch it without.
Oh, yeah, so this is the order. Watch it without. Second best option would be watch it with the movie. Third best option is if we release the video, watch
it
on YouTube.
You can watch us recording it.
I would put that at the bottom of the heap.
It might not even make it.
Funnily enough, that's actually the most convenient order as well. You can listen to the audio at any time. If you do it with the video, fuck
right
you.
On. Hey, thank you all so much for listening, really. It's a real treat. No, it's not. What am I saying? I don't like
it. It's a treat that you're listening.
It's a treat.
It's great
listening.
That someone's on board.
We'd be doing it anyway. So it's nice that there's some sort of payoff.
This is very difficult now, guys. This is what you need to appreciate. We're at week 40. This is hard. This is a hard thing we're doing. I'm finding it really hard, guy.
You're having a bad day.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
So I think it's only going to get harder from here on in. Pray for us and keep all your feedback coming in. I don't care if you call me a fucking asshole or set me up with $250 shirts. Do what you got to do.
If anyone's listened this far, I don't think they're going to call you a fucking asshole. But now someone might do it just to spite that.
We love you guys. And we'll see you next week for watch number 41 of Grown Ups 2. That's a silly sentence, isn't it? We'll catch you next week for watch 41 of Grown Ups 2.
Catch you next week.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.